Welcome back, Motion Students, to the Motion Students podcast, where we give out a weekly podcast for you to kind of dive in at a study hall or a star class, or maybe this week it'll be you driving down to wherever you're going for the fourth or fifth Thanksgiving. So we thank you for tuning in. We do this podcast so that whatever we talked about last Sunday night, we can recap and we really can dive into the Word. And this is kind of a opportunity for us to study the Scriptures. And so I know sometimes when we open the Bible, we don't necessarily know where to land or where to go. I pray that this is an opportunity for you to kind of have a set devotion throughout the week, that this is helping you grow your relationship with Christ. Today, this week, we are joined by our worship pastor here at Stones Crossing, Adam Trotter. And so I asked you students to send in some questions that you would like to be answered, faith-based questions. And I chose five questions that you guys sent in that Trotter is going to answer for us this week. We're going to kind of bounce ideas off of one another as we tackle these five questions. Trotter, thanks for joining with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'll attempt to answer the questions as best as I can.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so Trotter, the first question that was asked through the Remind app this week from a Motion student was this: how has your community changed over time? How has your faith-based community changed over time? And how have you stayed committed to a community, although maybe the community you liked originally was, you know, your closest friends or whatever it may be? How has that changed for you? And how have you continued to stay plugged into a faith-based community throughout your, you know, your faith journey?
I think that's a good question. And I think, you know, first and foremost, I think community is essential. You know, I think, I believe that God created us for relationships. Mm. You know, in the beginning, we look and it says that it's not good for man to be alone. So he created someone for him to be in relationship with.
Yeah.
And so from the onset, you know, community has been instilled since creation. Mm. And so I believe that's a huge aspect of our lives, to be in community. And, you know from personal experience that community shapes a lot of your thoughts and a lot of your actions as well. Mm. And so I think you need to be very intentional with community, for sure. Yeah. So just to start off with that and put that out there.
Yeah. What would you say, what would you say your community was like when you were, say, a high schooler compared to what your community looks like today?
Yeah. You know, for me personally, my community in high school was very segregated, and I did that intentionally, separating my faith community and my friends' social community, you know,
yeah,
and had a little overlap with those two. And looking back now, and one of my biggest regrets growing up was having that take place and being intentional about separating the two.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, I wanted the social community to be its own thing, and I wanted my faith community to just be my youth group, and that was it. Mm. And like I said, those both affected the decisions I made and things that I did when I was with each of those communities.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I remember being called up by my student pastor and just saying, man, it just seems that you're leading a double life. And he was spot on with that. And part of the reason was I was being affected by two different types of communities.
Yeah.
So
you say you intentionally segregated the community so you didn't have to have any overlap. Is that why you felt guilty maybe at one or the other? You wanted to do whatever you wanted to do, that you didn't want them to know you're a believer, or how did that work?
Yeah, it wasn't so much I didn't want them to know I was a believer, because I remember at one point I was at a party on a Friday night and someone was like, man, Trotter, you know, wherever you go to church, you know, I want to go to that church if you can do this on the weekend, but then be at church on Sundays.
Wow. Gotcha.
And that was a very gut-wrenching comment that, you know, someone had made to me. And that's when I was like, that was just a realization for me that, okay, this is not right.
For sure. For sure. Then what does your community look like today?
I mean, the two have a huge overlap. My social and my church, yeah, and my faith community are one and the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so much more life-giving, yeah, and so much more just fulfilling and helping me just be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that leads us well into our second question that that came from a student of the Motion community. The second question is, how do you share the gospel in an everyday setting? You know, I think it, just like we got done talking about, you know, how are you kind of combining the church and secular relationships you have? Well, I think this question goes well with that. What would you say is the way in which you share the gospel in an everyday setting?
Man, I think that for me, the gospel just manifests itself in the conversations that I have and, yep, the way that I interact with people, you know? Yep. And so it's not so much going around and just reading scripture to people and just going to people, I'm going to pray for you, but it's just being authentic and honest with people in, yeah, in a loving way, which is countercultural, you know?
Yes, for sure. For sure. Would you say that basically the foundation that you kind of build through the reading of scripture, through the listening of worship, through attending, you know, church, does that kind of help you kind of bolster your ability to kind of just live it out instead of trying to, you know, schedule it or maybe preach the gospel at somebody for any given reason? Does that faith foundation kind of help you just live that out naturally?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I would say that whatever we're inputting into our minds is the output that we're going to get with the words that we say to people.
Yes. Yes.
And so if we are inputting scripture daily and inputting time with God daily, the output is just going to be natural. It's going to come out.
Yep. I agree.
And so it's nothing that is I'm forcing or making happen. It's just a natural overflow. You know, what we say is an overflow of what our heart is beating for, you know?
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. I think that's a really good answer. All right. The third question that the students had was, when did faith become your own and not your parents or not your youth pastors or not your friends? When did it become your own and how did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's interesting that it was asked that way. You know, it wasn't your student pastors or whatever. Because I remember my senior year, CIY, you know, those 2 a.m. conversations in the dorms were always awesome. Mm. I loved those. And I remember telling, you know, my student pastor, I was like, man, I think God's calling me into ministry. Mm. I don't know what it looks like, you know. And, you know, I remember him saying that, you know, ministry isn't just something that you enter into just because it's fun, but it's also not something that I can make a decision for you or your parents. At the end of the day, Adam, you got to make the decision for yourself because you've got to own your own faith.
Yes.
And so I remember sitting there, and then he left the room and went to bed, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh.
Mm.
And so I was just like, okay. And so, you know, thankfully I viewed college as an opportunity to get a new start.
Mm.
And so for me, that's when I just kind of took to the next level.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's really cool. I think it's important for our students to hear that, you know, us in ministry wrestled with this at some point. This wasn't, we didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden, you know, we felt like, oh, I'm equipped to do work, to do ministry, and we're ready to roll. Like, you know, it happened for you on your senior year at CIY, and you probably had plans to do other things at that point, and you were interested, mm-hmm, in other majors. And then all of a sudden God kind of called you into ministry, just as, you know, the ministry of all believers, the priesthood of all believers, as it says in the New Testament, that no matter if we're working at a 9-to-5 in a cubicle downtown or we're in ministry, every day is a ministry opportunity. We're all ministers of the gospel. And so it's cool to hear kind of how you kind of came to that conclusion. All right. The fourth question.
Yeah. Well, and to piggyback on top of that, you know, I think one thing that for me, I've had to learn and figure out rhythms and whatnot is that, you know, I've got to be intentional about how I'm sharing my, yeah, faith, because I'm not doing it in my workplace, because, you know, our workplace is with other believers. Right. And so you know, sometimes I'm jealous of people that have those work environments where there aren't believers, yes. because then you have more opportunity for the harvest, yes. you know, where we've got to intentionally be going outside of our walls to be able to create those conversations mm-hmm. to take place. Yes.
There could be no better segue from what you just said to our next question. The next question is, how do you interact with those who do not believe? This kind of piggies back on what you said in the second one, how do you share the gospel in an everyday setting? Mm-hmm. But can you speak a little bit about how you – maybe the approach you take with those who do not believe?
Yeah, I mean, my first approach I try to be as non-judgmental as possible, yeah. because in this day and age, it seems that as soon as you say the word Christian, believer, faith, people are going to peg you and they're going to be like, I know your type.
Yeah, and it doubles down when you say pastor.
Oh, yeah. And so to come in and I try to put myself on the same level playing field that they're on, you know, and to say, you know, not any better than you. And man, I struggled with that before as well. Oh yeah, my wife's gone through this, or I've got friends that are going through whatever, right. you know,
yeah.
and to try to make them realize that I'm no different than them as far as being, you know, affected by sin.
Right, no doubt.
It's just the way that I can cope with it is a lot different than the way that they're coping with it.
No doubt. That's true. I think it's good to remind ourselves that, you know, Romans 3:23, we say it so often that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we are sinners, that without Christ, we're nothing, that he must increase in our lives and that we must decrease. And if that's true, us decreasing puts us in a place of humility where when we interact with non-believers, it's truly just us interacting with them on the same playing field, because we are no better than them or anything like that. But we do have somebody who we can share with them. And that's, yep. and that's obviously the gospel. That's obviously the person of Jesus Christ. All right, Adam.
Yeah. And I also think, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
But I also think that, you know, I personally believe that you've got to have relational buy-in with someone before you're going to get them to believe what you want them to hear.
Yep.
And so for me, it's how can I relationally get invested in this person? Mm. And once I establish that relational quality with them,
right.
and then I can take the conversation to the next level.
Yeah. And
so I just try to build that relational value with them first, because everyone wants relationships. Everyone wants to be accepted, you know, and so show that acceptance. And then out of that, it's just going to be natural.
Yep. And you speak of being jealous about those who are in the workplace around non-believers. The best mission field, I'll say this to the end of my days, the best mission field is the high schools and the public school system, for sure. Because I mean, I've never had more non-Christian friends. Non-believers. Yep. And my life made such an everyday impact on the way I lived, is that other people saw the way I lived. They saw the way I acted. They always questioned the way I acted. And so our students have such a playing field, such a mission field for the gospel. And so it's cool to hear you kind of chime in on that. And students, I just want to encourage you right now that you are have such an opportunity to share the gospel right where you are at. And if it's the high school, or if it's your friends, or if it's mm-hmm. your family, wherever it may be, take that opportunity to share the gospel with them in a way that you love them. You extend grace to them, just as you were extended grace, just as you were extended love. And so, Adam, I really appreciate you kind of giving us an angle about, don't come in with judgment. Don't come in with, you know, hellfire and brimstone. Just come in and say, hey, look, I love you. I want to meet you where you're at. That's awesome.
Well, and I would also encourage, you know, students, you know, it's, I would say even more so today than when I was in high school and when you were in high school, yeah. is that even if you're not interacting socially, everyone's watching yes. what you're doing. And even more so through the posts you're making, through the things that you're Instagramming, snapping, yeah. whatever, that people are right. watching. And so even if you don't have that physical conversation with them, you are affecting them and can influence them in more ways than just a conversation. Absolutely. It's through the things that you're being viewed
absolutely.
By, you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. All right. Rounding out our interview with Adam, our last question is this. How do you focus on Jesus with all the distractions of life around you?
I got to get Joshua.
You're fine.
Hold on, okay? Can you edit this?
Yeah, Adam is on his way to St. Louis with the crew, so we appreciate him stopping by and doing his thing. Adam, take your time, man.
Hold on. Second one, something. I'm gonna pull in a parking spot, Luke, real quick, so we can do a couple things, and then I'll answer that question.
Students, while you're waiting, don't just listen to this podcast. If you're interested, we have we just did a podcast last week with Mackenzie about active rest, and our first podcast was a Bible study in Romans with Mitch, Pastor Mitch Green, and so feel free to check those out after you listen to the interview with Adam.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you're good.
What was the question again? Sorry.
Jesus, with all the distractions of life around you.
You know, for me, the easiest way for me is I love music, you know, and so, you know, getting songs being played to get lyrics in my head that just kind of play over throughout the day. Is an easy way, but then just make an intentional time to get in the word and make it a part of every day, you know. Life is easier said than done, for sure. But I think that it needs to be something that's just intentional. And, you know, for me, it's He Reads Truth. It's HeReadsTruth.com. They do a daily thing just for the guys. There's a She Reads Truth for the females. And it is already, it's devotionals that are already done. Scriptures are already picked out, and they walk you through just great things. And so, and it's not just for adults, not just for dads, not just for men, but, you know, for all guys and all gals. So,
yeah, whatever we're calling these days.
Gals, whatever.
Hey, Adam, lastly, we always have our guests pray for the students. Do you have time to do that? All right, would you pray for us?
I can do that real quick, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this time. Just to have conversations about community and what that looks like practically in the lives of the students here at Stones. And so we're just so thankful for and these opportunities for community weekly that we're able to gather with one another, both inside and outside of the church building at Stones. And so we thank you for your grace to be able to pursue those relationships in those communities daily. So I just pray that you guide us.
Amen.
And guide
love
our
you, brother.
And
thanks
friend.
For jumping
Amen.
On here. Have a good trip to St. Louis.
Anytime.
Yep. See you, man.
Appreciate it.